Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello, I'm Andrew McDermott. Our bodies have powerful defense mechanisms to heal us and protect us from disease, including COVID-19, the respiratory disease caused by the 2019 novel coronavirus. Today, my guest is Dr. Jeffrey Simmons, a retired internal medicine physician. Dr. Simmons is the author, most recently, of Are We Here to Recreate Ourselves? Jeff, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you recently wrote at evolutionnews.org about our body's ability to ward off disease. It's called Physician's Diary, Our Remarkable Healing Processes and the Coronavirus Infection. So far, over 2.5 million people globally have been infected by the coronavirus, and yet a majority of them will recover. This, of course, is no accident. We have modern medicine to thank, but as you point out, we can also be thankful for our own immune system. Can you explain why we need an immune system? What's out there to worry about or protect ourselves from, including this coronavirus?
Yeah, great question. And I'd like to stick in, you said that 2.5 million people are infected. Probably 2.4 million of those people have survived because of their natural immunity or their natural response. And so one would wonder, you know, how would we have even survived as a species if we didn't have this immune system in place? It's extremely complex, multiple steps, and no way it could happen just naturally or by an accident. It's a long conversation just going through the steps to explain how that's not possible to happen by accident. Darwin had no idea this was going on. Anyway, you're asking me, how can we protect ourselves? And one has to keep in mind how this our immunity came about. Babies need protection. And they need protection from viruses and bacteria, fungi, and they get antibodies from their mom, gamma globulins. And they get it from the placenta, and they get it from the breast milk. And that's how they survive infections. As we get older, we start having to get our own immune system, and it starts developing around 6 months. And there's lots and lots of things to worry about out there. I mean, a virus, for those who don't have a good handle on these pathogens, imagine the largest room in your house and put a period on a piece of paper. That might be a bacteria compared to a human cell. Then take that little period and expand it to the size of that room and put another dot in, and that would be the size of a virus. And we can't see these. So you can imagine how small they are. So it's called the invisible enemy. And the viruses are quite different from the bacteria. And so our bodies have to recognize what's self and what isn't self. And so it's interesting how it goes about. We can get these things breathing, eating, having sex. They're all around us. Millions of particles go in our nose every day. Most are not pathogens. We have pathogens on our skin. Get a cut, it goes in. We have pathogens on our teeth. The germs get something going on your teeth, you get an infection in your gums, and you're off to the races and you have an infection. So you're gone. You die from these if you don't have something to protect you. This has to be there. And this strongly supports foresight. Some intelligent entity had to have foresight to protect us. And it's not just protect us from what's likely to hit us, but also to protect us from what could hit us. And if it's something the body doesn't recognize, how does the body handle it? It has a built-in system. 2.4 of those people probably are fine because of what they were given as part of design.
Okay, so this is all natural. You know, we're bringing things in, unfortunately, that are intruders, but you're saying we have a system that well equips us to deal with what comes at us. Can you tell us how the body responds to an infection then?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we start off with just barriers. We have skin, just like trees have bark. We have stomach acid that kills bacteria. We kill bacteria invaders in the intestine, sometimes using other bacteria. We have chemicals. Tears wash away infections in our eyes. Saliva takes care of infections or potential infections in our mouth. So all these sentinels in our body, these are little soldiers of sort, little white cells. And there's millions, if not billions, of them stationed around the body everywhere. And they have a whole hodgepodge of chemical and other types of weapons to fight intruders. But they have to be able to recognize what's self and what isn't self. And so that's where the design comes in, I think. You get an infection, you get a break in the skin, and it's got to know, wait a second, what is that coming in? Should we kill it on the spot? How do we analyze it? We have to go back to memory banks. So they will confine the intruder, or they'll confine the bacteria, the chemical, the virus, and they have cells that will tear it apart and send pieces back to be analyzed while it's fighting. And millions of cells will come to fight this intruder. Messages go out. They have actual messages they send out. And they come from everywhere to fight through the blood vessels, through the lymph channels, and to fight this intruder if it turns out to be not self. Chemicals are set off, including some that dilate blood vessels. That's why an area that's infected turns red. It's the blood vessels that are dilated. More chemicals can get there. The white cells can get through the walls of the blood vessel. The fact that this is something we didn't know before, it wasn't self. And it could be a cancer cell. It could be one of our own cells that's loaded with viruses. It could be the viruses themselves. It could be a bacteria. And so the white cells have responded to fight it. They've also sent back messages. What is this? The message comes back itself. And so everything stops, and it stops very, very early. The message comes back, this is cancer. It attacks it and tries to destroy it. The message comes back, uh-oh, this is a new bacteria, a new virus. At that point, antibodies are starting to be made. These little parts of the intruder that they were analyzing are analyzed in such a way that chemicals or antibodies are made. And if you think of an antibody, just in different shapes, but essentially like a Y, and it'll trap something of this particular pathogen, maybe the whole pathogen, but they come in and they coat the virus or they coat the bacteria that's incoming or the fungus, and they attack. And that's the first attack. And pus is created. That's everybody knows that one. And the body notably will bring the pus to the surface and drain it. So the body's contributing in that fashion also. Meanwhile, there's antibodies being made. There's more cells coming in to fight. And the antibodies will identify. Think of in my article that the intruder has triangular shaped points on its body. Well, the antibody will come with like a catcher's mitt with triangular catcher mitts and surround that and attach. And attach with electrical connections and other chemical bonds. And they'll take it back to other cells that can chew these things up and beat them up and tear them up and dispose of them. So we have the system that fights at first. We have a backup group that comes in, fights that's more specific. They come in with antibodies that are sometimes connected with complement, which are, and I call grenades. These little chemicals attach to the intruder. They mark them for destruction like a paintball. And they also open up pores into the intruder so it starts falling apart. All this is natural, and it goes on every day. It goes on in your nose. It goes on in your mouth. It goes on in your system. And if it's really a bad intruder, you start seeing the pus. And we can get that almost anywhere. The body's watching all the time. It has to know millions of possibilities that we don't know how to react, and millions of possibilities that it does know. And as you get older, the memory banks get bigger and bigger in a chemical sense or in a computer sense. They don't take up any space of any significance. But it's like the brain. It remembers what was here. And indeed, somebody has written, I just saw it recently, where if you put all the immune cells together, they would be like the size of a brain, way about the size of a brain. And they have a memory system that resembles what the brain remembers. So it knows what to do under circumstances. Yeah.
So we're dealing with a smart system here, a smart machine, a smart process. Then not only will destroy what's coming at us if it's a foe, it will also analyze, it will also learn, it will also remember.
Absolutely. And it does learn. And it learns, well, that antibody didn't work so well. It comes up with other ones, almost like vaccines. You kind of mentioned about what the body might do and how it's designed. The way we're going to fight this coronavirus, that's what I'm getting at. The way the coronavirus can be fought is in some ways very similar to how the body fights it. The best protection that we have is what the body does. These millions of people that will survive this are surviving primarily due to antibodies, and it's antibodies that the body is making. Or what we're trying to do in saving some people early on is giving them antibodies. And one will hear on the news and elsewhere about convalescent serum. Convalescent serum is taken from somebody who's gotten the infection, it hasn't killed them, and now they have antibodies. And so we take a blood draw, we use the antibodies from these people, and we give them to people who are very sick. And so we're mimicking what the body does to save lives while we're getting a vaccine up. And the vaccine, that's the only way we can be saved other than the normal reactions in some people, is we give the body this antigen, this pathogen, in a relatively benign way. So the cells pick it up, the same cells that tear the invader apart, the same cells pick them up and tear what the vaccine gives them apart and says, hey, I want this piece, I need that piece. It identifies what it needs, and it takes it back to the other cells that do the analysis. And there's something called plasma cells. There's all kinds of cells I haven't named involved in these processes. Plasma cells are sort of like copy machines. They hand what they've decided is the right antibody to the plasma cells, and they put them out like a copy machine, copying thousands and thousands of pieces of paper simultaneously. There's thousands of them doing this, and the antibodies come out of everywhere and fight what's going on. And that's how we survive this stuff. We're also treating this with some antivirals, which look very promising. Remdesivir is attacking the RNA blueprint that's inside this virus and causing it to mutate. There's the hydroxychloroquine, which is affecting how the virus tries to enter the cells. Mind you, I'm speaking now while the studies are still being done, and so we'll have to see what the analysis shows. You know, we get people analgesics, pain medicine, to help them with this. Well, what does that do? It's also copying what the body does with endorphins. The body puts out endorphins. They're better than the analgesics when they get to working. And so, again, we're copying that. Gamma globulin, which is basically the same thing as convalescent serum, was something we gave to paralytic polio patients in the 1950s. And they found that some of the paralyzed people improved significantly. And so that's where we got the idea of giving people antibodies. This has been around for 70 years. And so people jumped on this right away. I was on the radio very early on talking about it. Not that I have any credit coming. It's just that it seemed like a logical thing. And sure enough, very shortly thereafter. So these antibodies that we make, sometimes they just come in and attack and destroy. Sometimes they flag or tag these invaders so they can be found. Sometimes they block them in certain ways. Sometimes they cover the parts of their body, they neutralize them so they can't impact the cell. Sometimes they block inhibitors. They, in other ways that we treat like cancer cells, they can deliver radiation and they can deliver chemotherapy. That's almost science fiction, future medicine, but it's upon us. We are going to be saved from this mostly because the antibodies that younger people are making and the vaccines that we're making to give to everybody. Unfortunately, about 10% of people may not respond to the vaccines, but then there's something called herd immunity, which I think is a design also, in that if about 50% or 60% is vaccinated or has antibodies, there's enough of them around, basically block the virus and just mute it before it gets to somebody who's vulnerable. So a lot of the things that we're copying are right there in nature. They're all designed. I can't see how one would say our vaccines and our medicines aren't designed, or otherwise twist that, saying, aren't our medicines and our vaccines designed? And then to say that the human reaction is not designed doesn't make sense to me. I mean, there's millions of things in the memory bank, and within an instant, the body recognizes it. The right soldiers show up. They do the right things. The right chemicals show up. The right signals go out. It's an incredible process. It would take hours to go into all the things that go on, but you can look it up, even Wikipedia and Google. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, it's such a fascinating system. So it sounds like what you're saying, until we get the vaccine going, we're really just looking for ways to boost our own immunity. And of course, the social distancing, taking measures to prevent ourselves from allowing that intruder into our body in the first place would be a good line of defense. But basically, just capitalizing on what the body's already doing until we get that help from a vaccine.
Absolutely. Those things you mentioned are most important, and capitalizing of course, and vaccination, if they get it right the first time, we have to hope they do, maintain as good a health as you can. You can't reverse your age, of course. There's some suggestion that vitamin D helps with the immune system. I'm not saying to do it. There's some suggestion that certain hormones help, like women who should be on estrogen, maybe. We do know that sleep makes a difference. We know that stress makes a difference. We know that nutrition makes a difference. All these things help. And sometimes these spontaneous cures to things are all of a sudden the immune system catching on and taking care of the problems. But back to the basic system. We are depending upon the design of the body to survive this. And we are designing ways that absolutely reflect design, forethought, and planning to fight this.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Simmons, I really appreciate your knowledge on this topic and your wisdom. It's something that we're all facing, and I hope listeners and viewers that you're staying healthy and staying safe and just remembering how amazing our immune system is as we look forward to a vaccine. Well, thanks for your time, Dr. Simmons. And if viewers or listeners want to read more of your work, you do have a good handful of books out there, including your more recent one. It's called Are We Here to Recreate Ourselves? We actually did a couple of podcast episodes on that. Very interesting material. You can get a hold of that on Amazon. Are you doing any other projects right now while the lockdown's in place?
Absolutely. I'm not free to tell you. Sorry.
Hey, that's okay.
But it's
coming down the works.
It's another book on intelligent design having to do with.
Okay. Another intelligent design book coming from Dr. Simmons. That's great. All right. Well, you can listen to other episodes of ID the Future at idthefuture.com. You can subscribe wherever podcasts are found. But until next time, Dr. Simmons, once again, thank you so much. And you stay safe and healthy as well. I'm Andrew McDermott for ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.